Do you subscribe to those two basic tenets? Everything
was March 25, 2010, IG Selection Committee.
Time with my wife.
Already give you our short ones. Carrie's list. Do you want?
It's okay. We were missing one other person. It's really.
Dr. Fiore.
I think it's. It'll come up in the discussion. I think it'll be fine. It should be fine.
So who's in charge?
There was a great deal of overlap. It should be on
color coding.
Yeah, it shows you exactly really where there were typos, basically.
I'll get an eye, guys.
Okay, let me show you this.
Okay, we got everybody here except Mrs. Dr. Fiore.
Did you call your
All right, I think we can go ahead and get started. Let's everybody take a seat and get started. We have two meetings today. And all of the commissioners except Dr. Fiore is here or here. And here from the state attorney's office also joining the commission, Mr. McAuliffe and Ms. Layless from the public defender's office. Mm-hmm. They are representing those. So meeting will come to order. And Barbara, would you give us a roll call?
Manny Frosch.
Present.
Dr. Robin Fiore. Ronald Harbison.
Present.
Jennifer Loyalis, representing public defender Carrie Howitt.
Present.
State Attorney Michael McAuliffe.
Here.
Bruce Reinhart.
Present.
Judge Edward Rogers.
Here.
Thank you.
All right, we have everybody, and we'll make a note of it as soon as Dr. Fiore comes in. I'm sure she's trying to find a parking place out there. Okay, I wanted to start off tonight to see if we could get a little more information. I had problems in trying to reconcile, as the old comedians say, who's on first. I had problems trying to see our relationship between the commission and the inspector general, and for whom does he work and who has authority over him. So I asked if we could ask Brad and David if they could start the meeting off by giving us their understanding as to how we are tied into one another and who is working for whom. And Michael is here, so he's going to help us out a little bit too with that. And the ordinance is kind of fuzzy as to that part of it. So I'd like to start off like that. And we'll hear from everybody. And then any of the commissioners who have any questions or ask, let's wait till the end after all the presentations and ask the questions. Okay. Mr. Merriman, you want to start?
Sure. Good afternoon, everybody. And just kind of a restatement, this is the selection committee for the Inspector General, which is constituted by the the Ethics Commission and Ms. Loyalis and Mr. McAuliffe, representing the state attorney and the public defender's office. We are going to have an ethics commission meeting at the conclusion of this, which is a separate and distinct meeting to discuss other things related to the selection of the executive director. But in the interest of consistency, I'm going to pass the initial discussion over to Mr. Baker, who will talk a little bit about the relationship, and I know Mr. McAuliffe wants to fill in the blanks and add some information as well, since he obviously had an integral part in the development of all these issues. Mr. Baker?
Thank you, Brad. David Baker, representing the Implementation Committee and the committee, the Palm Beach County Ethics Initiative, which was involved in the creation and passage of the ordinances. Judge Rogers and members of the Selection Committee, the fuzziness that exists, as Judge Rogers, I think, put it, between the authority line of the authority lines between the committee and the Inspector General is somewhat vague. That vagueness was both by intent and by accident, but the intent part of it is that the Inspector General, the intent was to create as independent an office as possible for the Inspector General, and therefore to take out the original ordinances as were proposed and ultimately revised had a great deal more authority taken by the County Commission over the Inspector General. So in getting away from that line of authority to a more independent office of the Inspector General and at the same time creating a Commission on Ethics, the lines of authority that are created by the ordinance are relatively simple but probably need some additional infrastructure as they develop. The simple part of it is that the Inspector General is hired by this group, by the Commission on Ethics, plus the State's Attorney's Office and the Public Defender's Office representatives, and is may only be terminated with the concurrence of this group. The termination method requires participation of multiple groups, the County Commission, and that's a 5 out of 7 vote of the County Commission, and a supermajority vote of other groups who qualify to be to have a voice in the hiring or dismissal of the Inspector General, and those would be other government entities contributing at least a quarter of the budget of the Inspector General's office. That will come, obviously, at some point down the line and maybe far down the line. So right now it would really be the termination of the Inspector General would be by an affirmative, supermajority affirmative vote of the County Commission with the concurrence of the Selection Committee. So therefore, with those being the only and the reports of the Inspector General of the Inspector General's work go to the Board of County Commissioners and to this group. The this group with that framework, this group obviously has to decide how it will evaluate the Inspector General to determine, in the event of a termination, that that it is a warranted or unwarranted attempt to terminate, and therefore it would be practical for this group to evaluate the work of the Inspector General on a regular basis. There is no specific time period for those evaluations, but we would have proposed something like an annual evaluation, and we would propose that the
excuse me, David, just yes, for the record, Barbara will note Dr. Fiore's presence.
Thank you.
That the this group be a regular vetter of the Inspector General's reporting of the Inspector General's investigations and determinations, so that it will be more able to, in the event of a attempt to terminate the Inspector General, would be better informed as to what the job the Inspector General has done.
Okay, Mr. McAuliffe.
Yeah, we're going to pull the ordinances now. The Commission on Ethics has three primary purposes. It has an adjudicatory function, so you sit as a quasi-judicial body in receiving complaints of ethical misconduct of the ethics ordinance that was passed and effective, I think, on May 1st. It has an advisory role, because you are empowered to issue advisory opinions when people submit and pose questions to you. Does this conduct, A, B, or C, or, you know, in some detail or some not detail, violate the ethics ordinance? So you have an advisory, the Ethics Commission has an advisory function, and you're going to keep and develop a body of advisory opinions on that ethics ordinance. And then the third is educational. You have the authority and really the duty to, in conjunction with my office or with any other partner, you all as an Ethics Commission see fit, help in the county, for sure, educate the employees and those covered individuals what the ethics ordinance requires. So those are your three primary functions. There's a subsidiary and limited function that will come in and out of your life. You're in the first part of it right now. This part is that you all, not sitting as Ethics Commission members, but now you are going to be sitting and are sitting right now as the selection committee for the IG. It's semantics. You are sitting here together as a group of five plus two more. So we seven get the final say on identifying, vetting, and selecting the Inspector General. So that's one area of overlap. We collectively decide on the first Inspector General under the ordinance. You do not really, as an Ethics Commission, come back into it formally until such time as there's a need to reevaluate the status of the Inspector General that we collectively have previously picked. If there's a removal attempt, we have to concur if, in fact, the county commission thinks that the IG has done something so horrible, and there's specified under the ordinance the types of misconduct and malfeasance that would be covered, even potentially. There's a fairly elaborate, almost due process procedure invoked. And then we, as the IG selection committee, which then probably would be better named the IG removal committee, have to concur as a safety valve to make sure the county commission just isn't unhappy with the reports that the IG has been doing. Now, David brings up the idea that in order to evaluate that, ought not the selection committee or the ethics commission look and evaluate the IG. I can tell you, and we hadn't talked about this, so I can tell you that my individual view is that the Inspector General and the Inspector General's office is supposed to be independent. It's supposed to operate in a orbit of county governance, but not answer to anyone. So the Inspector General's office looks to evaluate an operation of a covered entity, no one can tell that official what to look at or what not to look at. That's independence. Two, they get to scrutinize what they see with no control from the outside, this body included in that lack of control. And then three, the IG's great power, it seems to me, is to make findings, reach conclusions, and publish those. Give it to the Board of County Commissioners and say, you know, in this area, things don't look too good. Or maybe they look really good, and you should do more of this in other departments because you're saving a lot of money. And that people get a chance to respond to those reports, but nobody can control what the IG's office puts out as a report. Not you, not me, not anybody. I would actually hesitate to say that you should think of yourselves as the evaluator of the Inspector General's office on an ongoing basis. I have to sort of sit and think about it. My initial reaction is that IG should really have that
buffer zone of independence. I mean, that's what we really tried very hard to create. In fact, over time, removing the county commission even from almost ministerial acts relating to it. But you got, we got put back into it in terms of the removal because we wanted a fail-safe in case someone tried to go after the IG. David, what's your...
That's, well, in the sense of the independence of the Inspector General, absolutely. The Inspector General is intended to be completely independent of anyone, except those groups that have the ability to terminate the contract of the Inspector General, and then, as Mr. McAuliffe pointed out, for specific reasons, and even then coming back before this group. Termination would take on something of the flavor of a hearing with due process. The relationship between this committee and the Inspector General is something, let me take a step back. This committee also has to negotiate a contract with the Inspector General. That contract is subject to the approval of the County Commission. Those are the only other two obligations that this group has. And when I say this group, I'm talking about the selection committee, negotiates the contract with the Inspector General, and the County Commission approves that contract. So those are really the only other specific activities, but that contract, in that contract, you may, some of the things that you will want to consider is what the relationship between the executive director and the Commission on Ethics and the Inspector General will be. But to further confirm what Mr. McAuliffe said, the overriding.
Let me ask this: after we have elected a executive director and inspector general, and we've reached a salary agreement, and we recommend that, and that's accepted. What do we do? What's our reason for existence after that?
Well, the ordinance for...
And I guess what concerns me is the inspector general the intake or repository for complaints, or are we? And do we advise him that we got complaints, or does he advise us that we got complaints? I guess that's what...
Yeah, the Inspector General is not your prosecuting authority. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think the ordinance has your executive director or a retained attorney perform that function. So after we collectively select or identify, select, and recommend to the Board of County Commission who that Inspector General is, the Board of the Ethics Commission, you all go off and do your work, those three things that I just talked about, advisory, adjudicative, and educational activities. The Inspector General doesn't do those things. The Inspector General is going to start looking at covered entities and individuals and say, this is an area of county operation that I think I want to or we need to take a closer look at, and they, let's say, do an audit, and then they'll issue a report on the audit. You all don't do the audit, and you don't do the report. That's the Inspector General's job. You all are a commission that enforces and educates and advises on the ethics ordinance.
Can I ask a question? If occasion were to arise to consider removing the Inspector General, is it this body, the Inspector General Selection Committee, or the Commission on Ethics that generates or is involved in that process?
It's the Selection Committee.
It's the seven of us, not the five.
No, correct.
Seven. Right.
Okay. How do we perform that function if we can't ask the Inspector General to tell us what he's doing and don't have the ability to look into what the Inspector General is doing? It's one thing to say we want political independence. That's fine. But in my experience of over 20 years prosecuting corruption cases, too much independence leads to corruption. If we have an oversight component to what we do, we have to do it. So I, for one, am not prepared to say we'll appoint the IG and we'll never ask him to come and tell us what he's doing and we're not going to look at what he does because he or she needs to be independent. I think that's abdicating our job, but that's one commissioner's opinion.
I agree. Independent doesn't mean not accountable.
That's three.
So if I understand correctly, we would not
have any say about what the Inspector General did, but we might have something to say about how they did it.
Well,
too slow.
You look on page 10 of the enabling ordinance for the Inspector General. Under I, it has a removal procedure, and it has very specified grounds for removal. They are narrow and defined: neglect of duty, abuse of power of authority, discrimination, or ethical misconduct. You are not supposed to make a judgment as to well-written report, ill-advised report. It's only fairly significant and egregious misconduct in terms of the conduct of office.
But if there's no reporting to us, at least insofar as what activities are taking place, how would we ever know whether those things obtain?
Well, you don't. You'll know the body of work product that's produced by the Inspector General,
or lack thereof.
You can make those judgments. But you cannot.
So we have to look at the website, in other words.
Well, you have to look at the body of work. I mean, you get the copies of the reports, but they don't. That office does not report to you. You are not the governing board of the Inspector General. Put it that way.
But we, as an entity, the seven of us, have the ability to remove the inspector. So if the Inspector General is openly and notoriously taking money for his or her own purposes, but not reporting it, are you saying we can't convene a meeting and ask the Inspector General to explain why he or she is stealing from the public?
Well, you would refer that to me.
Well, if we were to decide whether to try to remove him, whether or not he or she should be prosecuted, you're saying we can't call that person in here and ask them to answer as to whether they've committed misconduct?
You can call them, and you can see what they say.
Okay. And if we believe that we should initiate a removal procedure, I presume under the ordinance, we can initiate a procedure. Whether it results in removal is subject to the procedures in question.
Right.
Correct.
There's a written copy of charges. There's a hearing. And then you have your say based on that.
I see the Inspector General serves as a 4-year term. So we either get it right or we're stuck with it for 4 years unless some egregious violations occurred.
Now remember, this is what an Inspector General does. It's not an enforcement office. It's a sunshine. It has a flashlight. It can evaluate, scrutinize, reach conclusions, and publish those conclusions. That's it. It can't hire anyone. Can't fire anyone. It can't dictate public policy. It can't change the direction of a ship.
Is it? Is the Inspector General not hiring investigators?
Yes. It will have its own staff. Okay. And it has a right to obtain information through requests for information and then in a narrow circumstances administrative subpoena power. I actually have the authority to cut that off. I can intercede and stop either the course of an investigation of an IG or the issuance of a subpoena. So in some ways, my office plays a bit of the monitoring role.
Yeah, just to confirm, I think the second sentence of the removal provision describes how that process is initiated, and it is initiated at a duly noticed public hearing of either the board, being the Board of County Commissioners, the selection committee, this group, or a funding entity, which would be one of the entities that I described earlier as providing more than 25% of the budget of the Inspector General.
So we're basically proactive and educational and try to see that the Inspector General doesn't have anything to do.
That would be the ideal job, yeah.
Okay. And would our advisory opinion color erratic behavior or something as far as the IG is concerned, or would we consult with him? Somebody writes in and says, well, I want to know, I'm carpooling with a guy who's a developer. Can I ride to work with him every day?
Well, you're...
We say, well, looks like, you know, you're not doing any business with them now. Looks like it's okay. But is that the type of advisory opinions you would anticipate we would give?
Your advisory opinions will be, in my view, but is that you have the ethics ordinance. It's effective May 1st. Your charge as an ethics commission is to interpret and issue advisory opinions on conduct that may be violative or not of that ethics ordinance, period. Not whether something is wasteful, not something whether the public policies are smart or not of the of the county commission. Your adjudicative function, your advisory function, and your education function are tied. Your home base is that ethics ordinance.
But that only we only use that power or authority when asked.
Correct.
We don't.
Well, you can initiate.
I mean, educationally,
right.
We can
right,
say,
exactly.
You know, you
but
shouldn't do this.
But the adjudicative function is
but
yeah.
Other than that, as far as specificity of a particular act of wrongdoing by one person, we would have to wait until somebody complained about something like that.
Or ask you for your opinion.
Then, if we give an advisory opinion, are we through with it then, or do we have anything to do with further passing it on to the IG?
Well, your advisory opinion, I think it's up to you. I don't know that the ordinance covers whether it's a private advisory letter or a public opinion, a public advisory. It's a public. All right. And so presumably the IG has access to it because it's a public document. I mean, you can send it a copy to the IG.
Sure.
Now, remember, the Inspector General, though, does not that's the two. Is that helpful?
Yeah. I mean, like Chairman, the Bible says, I see through a glass darkly.
All right, Mr.
Will
Chairman.
The Inspector General refer ethics ordinance violations to us?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's also important to note that in terms of where the work of the Inspector General comes from and where the work of the Ethics Committee comes from, one of the sources of that work is going to be a hotline. That hotline currently is administered by the county's internal auditor. When the Inspector General is chosen and placed in office, that hotline responsibility will be transferred to the Inspector General's office. The types of things that come into that office over the hotline may well be ethics-related issues and may often be ethics-related issues, in which event there'll be, and to the extent that they are not also something that the Inspector General needs to investigate, they'll be referred to you.
And you know, the IG and then your executive director will be doing the vast, vast majority of that staff-to-staff communication.
What's the relationship between the Auditing Committee and the Inspector General?
The County Auditing Committee? There's no formal overlap. In fact, the IG, I would presume, I know, will be able to look at and ask for the work product and could often be acting in collaboration with the audit committee. Now, you know, the audit committee itself is undergoing some revisions.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I was going to wait till later on for staff comments to talk about what I'm about to talk about, but it's timely and I think relevant, and that it was the commission's interest in having the Dade County IG come and talk a little bit about these relationship issues. I have done that. I have made contact with the Inspector General, had a very productive conversation with him. He is willing to come here any Thursday but today. Apparently he lives in Stewart and commutes goes from Stewart to Miami on Monday and from Miami to Stewart on Thursday. So he comes through Palm Beach County every Thursday afternoon or evening. So I explained to him that we were interested in understanding the relationship, understanding the evolution of the office, the responsibilities, the duties. He was completely on board with all of that and will be happy to share with you and us his growing pains. He was the original IG. The relationship between the IG and the Ethics Commission has changed and evolved down there. And I think it will end up being a very enlightening and helpful conversation whenever that happens, and we hope to have that happen for you in the very near future.
Okay, that's good. We will invite several people.
I had a conversation myself with the gentleman, and the evolution was toward more independence. So the original relationship between the Ethics Commission and the IG was a little closer, more, and I think our comfort level suggests that, but he was able to, I think, make me comfortable with the idea of the more independent model. So.
Okay, well, we're learning a lot more about it. So we'll move on now to the next section. Yes, sir.
I received some minutes in emails. Yeah. I didn't see any. Did I miss it on the
That's the other
question. Well, no, this, yeah, we haven't had any minutes for this.
Actually, there are minutes for the Ethics Commission, so we'll deal with them if that's okay at the next meeting.
Actually, we have two meetings. We're right now in the IG's.
There we go.
And then we take off the IG hat.
Yeah.
Put on this.
Everybody brought their different hats today.
Right.
Leilani, were you able to put my email in with this, or I came too late?
It just came a little late.
Okay.
Okay, so at this time, we're going to move on to the next section, which is the same thing basically as we did with the ED. We're going to listen to Mrs. Yin, who has sort of pared down all day. We had a wonderful group of applicants, where the public's concerned. They had so many guys, and most of them could probably be better off up here in my job than what they were applying for.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Mr. Chairman, right. May I just request that we just spend a moment discussing the nature of this position and the nature of inspector. There are different roles inspector generals play, and those roles are relevant in light of the applications we have, because some are weighted in one direction and others are weighted in another direction. And I would just like the benefit of my fellow committee members' thoughts with regard to those weightings, specifically, even if you go, as I did, to the Association of Inspector General website and look at an outline they have. They outline an investigative or almost a law enforcement role versus a one that's heavily weighted towards internal audit. And those are different skill sets, in my opinion, anyway. And I'd like to hear what people's thoughts are with respect to those skill sets and the needs that we have in Palm Beach County at this time, because I believe this person's going to, like, as with the executive director,